This is it. And this is so important to me. This is us doing what I just said. Our primary identity as a people is that we're a house of prayer. We're a house of prayer. You know it. Matthew 21, 13, 14, 15. 13, rip through. Jesus has an attitude. Turns over tables, does his thing, right? 14 is, I think it is. Maybe I've got 12, 13, 14. I can't remember. But there's one verse. He rips through. The next verse, he makes the proclamation. You're a house of prayer. The next verse is, everybody's getting healed. They're coming in. They're no longer marketing religion. People are being transformed, and they're being healed. I'm trying with all my heart. There it is right there. Great. So, yeah, it's 12, 13, and 14. Those three verses, please read them. Please meditate on them, because I think the church has struggled, I said it last week, by letting the enemy relegate prayer as a meeting or one of the spiritual disciplines. When I believe with all my heart, and you can argue with me, that prayer is center to our identity of even existing. This is who we are. We're a people of prayer. And all that means is we're a people talking with God. We've not done enough talking to God. We've read his book some, got some ideas. Then we saw a guy build a church and it grew to thousands. We bought his book and then tried to repeat it for the sake of the glory of God. I think it was all sincerity. But the Lord wanted the whole time for you and I to be talking to him. He's coming back for a bride that's talking to him, that's singing to him, that's being with him. You and I are called to be a house of prayer. It's so significant to the apostles, Paul's going to write, that we pray without ceasing. Jesus is going to go, I want you to pray day and night. I want, okay, and he didn't mean don't go to work. He didn't mean don't have a marriage. He meant while you're doing all that, you're going to be this mobile house of prayer that's carrying my presence. So we are radically, I was talking with our mission, we got some missionary people up here from Texas, and we were with them today before they drove home, and they're doing this in their church. I talked to another guy, he's doing it in a Mennonite church. We are committed to house of prayer identity restoration, that is restored to the body of Christ, and a house of prayer cultural revolution. And what I mean by that is this, that we know who we are, that we are a house of prayer, that pastors know it, that pastors become, and I'm going to do this more than a teaching, I'm going to do it like just a, because you know all this, but I want to say this because I'm as committed to it as I've ever been. The reason we did that awkward hour, if you were here before, and it wasn't all awkward, but it's a little bit, we're not saying stand up for four songs and sing. I'm not anti that, by the way. God help me not to be mocking the worship set where we do, you know, the Hillsong and Bethel cover songs. That's great. They're so good. But we can do more than that. We can do more than that. We've settled for people singing a few songs, sitting down and hearing a sermon, and hope they live a good life, and we're not training them how to relate with their God. The bada bing is you get to know God. You know him, and then move out from him and exercise his stuff on planet Earth. And so the greatest epidemic in the body of Christ is the lack of the knowledge of God. And that's what I mean by house of prayer, is that we're people that are talking to him. We're relating, we're listening, we're worshiping, we're dialoguing. It's not like we're doing this all the time, but we're constantly walking the Spirit. We're constantly in presence. And honestly, I really do want you to have a healthy, holy criticism of the body of Christ, because I believe in Lyman, I didn't get him up here to talk about it, but said the phrase to him, what if our church services looked more like prayer meetings? And I'm like, well, that'd probably be a return to normalcy. Because that's really what they should be, is we're having this interaction with the living God. And so we want to see pastors become the primary prayer leaders instead of shifting it off to somebody else on the back row that'll get four or five people to pray. We want to see them be the, yeah, primary teachers, but primary prayer leaders. People that are training people how to be alive in prayer. And I bet if I took a poll across this room, how exciting, how vibrant is your prayer life right now? You know, I bet there's a whole bunch of you that are like, yeah, it's really rough right now. Well, yes, because the devil hates your prayer life. Your flesh wants to walk without it. There's a bunch against your prayer life. Stop. Don't hang your head about your prayer life stinks. Just start moving toward getting some people near you and saying, my prayer life stinks. Talk, help me. Hold me accountable. Yeah, try not to lust in the late night hour. Try not to steal and cheat on your taxes. But listen, why don't you be accountable and confess, my prayer life stinks. What, like, as a primary sin. I think if it's our primary identity, then it's the primary sin of the house of God. Because it solves 1,001 other issues. If you have the abiding life And a prayer life that's alive, it's just tougher to sin when the Holy Spirit's with you all the time and you know it. Somebody notice that? Every time I've sinned, I went into amnesia. He's gone. He's not here. Now, he was there. But my consciousness went, it was because I wasn't developed and mature in my abiding life in the Holy Spirit in being a house of prayer. What if he awakened my heart that I was perpetually awake in him and he was right there when my body wanted that, my eye wanted that, my hand, you know what I'm saying? And so your power over sin is not going to be you trying harder. It's going to be the power of the Holy Spirit. Does everybody understand that? So all I'm talking about, and these two things that are in my heart, the Lord's just like, Sam, lock in on this house of prayer revolution that's going on for the whole body of Christ and be an advocate for the advocate, for the Holy Spirit who's been ignored. Yeah, and I think he's even ignored when we talk about his gifts. I mean the person of the Holy Spirit, his life, his fellowship, his intimacy, his power for us in the pain, in all those things. And so, Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would, these people aren't here by accident. I'm asking you to raise up a bunch of cultural revolutionists that help stir prayer in their own home, in the churches they're in, everywhere they are. Lord, I pray you restore the identity of the body of Christ. Restore her to be what you call. You only called her one name. One name. She's a house of prayer. My house will be called a house of prayer. Lord, I pray no longer us hanging our heads and saying, yeah, we ought to get better at that. Bring a revolution. Stir up a spirit of prayer, God. Anoint us to be at the right place at the right time and not do it with condemnation. May we love our Lutheran brothers and Presbyterian brothers and sisters, and may we woo them to a place of prayer, a place of your presence. Amen. Amen. Yay. Three teachings. Suffer well. Okay. Go rule the planet. And you're a house of prayer. That's all I said. And I gave you Bible verses for it. Now go do it. The Holy Spirit's going to do the best teaching ever on that.